Let's play, so let's record. All right, it's Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. This is the 2 o'clock legal counsel update. We note that our chair, Lily Morgan, is not in attendance. So we're going to go right into executive session. Let me read the titles here. Item 1A is a land use enforcement on 600 Tina Way, ORS 192-6602EH. And item 1B is a tort claim notice from the estate of Janelle Butterfield, ORS 192-6602H. All approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we'll return to the open session and welcome the audience back into the room. And so I will turn off the recorder at 201. Got it.
I think.
All right, it's now 2:20, and we are back in session. The item 1A, the land use enforcement on 600 Tina Way, we will deal with in a moment on our agenda. And item 1B, we were updated on the tort claim notice. So let's do that item 2 on our agenda, the real property at 600 Tina Way, acceptance of personal representative's deed. Any presentation you want to do in open session? No, we have talked about this one a few times. So would we take that motion now?
Yes, now it's done.
So Dan, do you want to make a motion to move forward on that?
Yes, let's move forward on item, that would have been item 1A.
Or no, yeah, item number 2 now.
I don't know, item number 2, okay, yep, got it. Yes, move forward on number 2.
And I'll second that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion carries 2-0.
And maybe just suffice to say that the county's intent in acquiring this property is to clean it up and then offer it for resale.
Yep. Yes. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect. Okay, on to item number 3, which is a draft letter regarding Southwest Oregon U.S. Forest Service supervisor.
Yeah, so Commissioner Morgan and I, at the request of the board, went to a meeting of objectors for the Briggs project, the Upper Briggs project. And that meeting was hosted by U.S. Forest Service, the regional supervisor in that entity for Southwest Oregon is Merv George. Yeah. There are 6 objectors, I think it was, 5 or 6, who showed up. The county was one of the 6. And it was the first time that apparently it was the first time that Merv George, or given the nature of his commentary, pretty much any of the other staff within the Forest Service, of which there were many there gathered, had really done an objectors meeting. Typically, these types of objections come up during the planning process, but because this has been so long in formation, this plan, we got to this point, and now we're hearing the objections afterward. Anyway, coming out of that, Lily Morgan and I, actually, but it was her idea, she said, we really felt heard at that proceeding. It could have gone, there were so many points at which it could have gone off the rails. Passions run high surrounding this kind of an issue, and that's understandable. But we were both very satisfied. I know she's not here to say it, but I think I'm safe in declaring that we were both very satisfied in the way the Forest Service received and is processing the county's objection. And the county's objections all centered around the wildfire threat. Okay. Essentially, Commissioner Morgan went out, toured the property, took a bunch of photos. She toured it with a Forest Service representative, took photos, and really took a look for herself at whether the roads should be closed, whether there's some other options, and we came up with an alternative that Merv George in particular, who was running the meeting, seemed to really appreciate. Mm-hmm. And so don't know what he's going to do, whether he is able to or inclined to accommodate the county's objections or not. But I know that Commissioner Borgen said, well, let's send a letter to the Forest Service higher-ups just to say that we think that he did a pretty good job on this.
Nice.
So that's what this is.
He's new to the job, but it's nice to throw him a bone like this.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think there for a while they were kind of searching because he went against a little bit on that one fire. He
yes.
said, yeah, get the equipment in there. Let's get this thing put out.
By all indications, that's his philosophy on wildfire
yeah.
prevention.
And they were kind of, there was a lot of people asking suppression. For him to be replaced.
And thus, something.
So this is good.
Another, yes, yes. Another perspective, let's say.
It is, yeah.
For his supervisors, and also for Congressman DeFazio, who's been CC'd
yeah.
On the letter as well, yeah. to just consider, you know, there's another side to things.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like I said at the end of this, by all indications, Burb George is an excellent supervisor of this part of America, mm-hmm. and he's the guy we want doing this job at this particular
right,
moment
right.
in time.
Sounds good.
Well, it looks at it from the almost like the victim side of it. Because we were the ones that were, you know, we're the ones that have to deal with whatever happens. And if we're happy with the way he conducted himself, we should say that.
Yep.
That's good. Good idea.
Any action needed from us? Would you say go forward? Or?
Might want to advance it to a business session. Commissioner Morgan will be there
to flesh
out some more of, you
and
know,
put a little
that would tell
publicity around it.
Huh? Tell everybody that we have confidence in Merv and huh? go from there.
Yep, and absolutely disconnected. I mean, don't know what he's going to do in terms of making his decisions in this particular project, but we were very appreciative of just the way that he heard the county and all
better,
the other parties as well.
Better this way than any doubt. This erases any doubt that he has that we're on his side.
Is there any objection to moving that forward?
No, nope, it's a great
okay.
idea. Great
Let's
idea.
Do that.
Good work.
What's next? Item 4.
Okay, we got public record requests. John Manette are here. My invitation. And I don't know if Annette, more wants Annette to come up, but I haven't. This came out like 25 minutes ago, so we haven't had a chance to really. The draft. John got it hot off the press just before the meeting. Anyway, picking up where the board and I left off, regarding kind of updating the public records management and processing policy. And do you have copies?
No.
You need copies? Okay.
No. So apparently John's the only one with the press.
He is. He was. Yeah,
a couple of drafts here.
He was on the speed dial. And I guess we didn't want to go there.
That's for you.
All right, going back in time. So in 2016, the county, after many years of skipping along without a statutorily required public records officer, finally, you know, I advised on a couple of occasions, we got to get this done. It's a loose end. Let's do it. How about the clerk? That wasn't going to happen. And so, lo and behold, I volunteered and did it, and I've been doing it ever since. But that era, I think, is probably something we've matured out of, put it that way. And I think we can come up with a much more deliberate system and also adjust the policy. So what's happened is organically we've come up with a system throughout the county of processing public records requests that has drifted away from the policy that's on the written page.
Yeah.
And so one of the points I was trying to address here was to actually conform the policy of what the board's expectations are and its formal requirements with what seems to be working best at this moment in time for the county. So you'll notice on the front cover we have the draft order, and I don't know what the timeline is that the board would want to keep this advancing, but basically if you look at paragraph 2 under the "it is hereby ordered," we have the board hereby designates the board's executive office manager as the records management officer to coordinate the county's public records management program. John here and I are really the two people who pull a good chunk of the sled, let's say, in terms of processing public records within the county. And so, you know, we put our heads together, and it is, I think, appropriate for this to be, well, I think the board is just the board's office is the natural place at this moment in the county's history for this function to be centered. This function is a very, you got to really watch these requests. I mean, it's very intense. I don't want to scare you off. I'm not using the right terminology, but it's. I mean, you can't let these things slip through the cracks. Is what I'm saying. And you know, our office is doing, has been doing everything we can, but fact is, even since I was made the public records officer, statutorily imposed timelines have been set down from the legislature. 5 days, for example, for initial reply, 10 days pretty much for actually providing the records. Now there's a penalty even if the county fails to abide that timeline. And so what our administrative staff has been endeavoring to do thus far is to really make sure those timelines don't ever get missed. And so now I think we're kind of shifting a little bit of some of the administrative roles, kind of coming more into this office over here. And so to the extent that we'd see a greater value in terms of personnel, I'm seeing that really coming back over to the board office. And is it making sense? What?
Yep. You're passing this off.
I am passing it off. Just, and
just say it.
But that's because we've
matured. I'm getting this out of my end of the building and putting it in your end.
Well, I am. And so we're going to go over the particulars of how it plays off.
It's the same end of the building.
Same end of the building. And that's really important, too.
Yeah.
We thought about our public information officer, for example, right, John? And did you want to address any of those points? Or just didn't,
sure.
It seemed a good fit for a couple of reasons.
So one of the concerns that we had if we moved it to our office is that we only do those inquiries of email and archived documents based on someone else doing a request, having it run through the requester to make certain what they are requesting, because sometimes the requests are very vague. So administratively, it's my opinion that we shouldn't be making the decisions about what information is being requested in our office, nor should we be administering who is requesting and providing those documents, because we can always provide an audit trail. Say we did a search on an email and we wanted to, someone made a valid request to search for a topic on people's email. Well, IT has the mechanical ability to do that, but I don't think we should be administering it, because then you don't have an arm's length transaction between those requesting data and who sought it. And we thought, legal counsel and I, that the board would be the best place to administratively handle that, because right now when we get requests, we get it from all kinds of departments and they're not equipped to make certain the request based on, they don't do it that often. And they sometimes don't take into consideration what the county's position is going to be on confidential.
I'm going to assume, not to chime in here, but I'm going to assume that the ultimate responsibility and liability lies with the board anyway.
Yes, it does.
So that's what I'm going to guess. You know, and you're saying that if somebody just requests something and your people go, you bet, and you shove it off, and something that was supposed to be redacted wasn't redacted or whatever, and it comes back, it's going to come back to the board and we never saw it.
Right.
And then at that point in time, we're going to say, why didn't we see this? Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
So this is kind of beating us to that punch.
Well, and it gets to the nexus point of the office manager who has contact with all department heads. So do you think that this office manager is going to be able to deal with, you know, I throw a number out there, 3/4 of the requests and go, oh yeah, you could have that, you could have that. But then there's still going to be some where she's going to go, wait a minute, I want to ask legal this one has to go on.
Yeah, so legal would be strictly in a point of advising any department, office manager, but not making actual decisions in regards to public records. And the way that actually plays out is reflected on the written page in, do we have the red one? Well, let me find the section.
Page 4.
Yeah, six. Here it is. It's page. Okay, thank you. So it's section 4 on page 1 of 6, at the bottom of page 1 of 6. And then the top of page 2 of 6, so we've got, this is the new system, if you will. And we're going to go over some, about how the rest of this plays out throughout the other parts of the county. So we have the Board of Commissioners has designated the Executive Office Manager as the Records Management Officer to coordinate the county's public records management program in accordance with statute. And then we have, so first, this is the first layer. So all decisions regarding public records for which the Board of County Commissioners is the custodian are considered decisions of the Record Management Officer. Decisions of the RMO are appealable to the District Attorney in accordance with statute. And then we have, notwithstanding what I just said, the RMO may refer a request for public records to the Board of Commissioners for determination. Decisions by the Board are appealable to the Circuit Court, which is, of course, the case now.
Right. I still, you guys are almost all the way out of this stream, it would sound like.
Legal's totally out of it. Legal makes no decisions, but we do offer advice in the process.
Right, because there will be times where I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, we can advise on pretty much.
Right, and recommend, but it's still.
Not my decision to make.
Right, the final.
Do they have upgrades on this training? When it goes training, it says completed once a buy-in, I mean, scratch that out. Yeah. Are there upgrades? I mean, are they?
Well, didn't want to put HR on the spot necessarily, but what he's talking about is, so the existing policy says newly hired county employees will complete basic training on public records requirements as part of new employee orientation. Then it says subsequent training will be incorporated as part of regular employee training. And then currently it says, which is conducted once every biennium. You know, that doesn't happen. For better or worse, if the board wants it to happen.
But could it happen more often than once a buy-in? Okay, because I can see changes and stuff that you're going to need to keep up with. And I see a huge learning curve here just to get on board with this.
Yes.
This isn't an easy subject.
Well, that's a different, so we got down lower in the agenda for today. We got public meeting notices, I guess, for manager training, but we can wrap in public records as well to some kind of that.
Right.
Not to get too far ahead of ourselves. In the agenda,
right.
I think that would be valuable.
Yes, it would. So what happened, JJ, I scratched out the part in the existing policy that says every biennium, but if the board wants it in there, because that's not reflective of reality, right? And so I was trying to comport. What?
Is it happening at orientation?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. If the board says they want new employee orientation training, that's, I went through that. And then I had to go find the bathroom all by myself because nobody showed me where that was. But so I think this goes far deeper than new employee orientation training. But I guess it says here subsequent training will be incorporated as part of the regular thing. And then we drop down to 6, and that would be where that would fall into. So I think we will address it later on in the agenda.
And they should get on the next training if we hire an employee.
I didn't know if something in here, I guess subsequent training will be incorporated as part of the regular employee training. I think that covers it.
Well, I mean, I think you can do. I don't know. JJ's in the room. I'll stop talking for him. But he can do whatever you tell him to do, and he will.
Well, and I don't think he needs to do a full one for every employee that comes through, but they need to be aware of the situation, ask for help, and be in the next training, is what I would think. What do you say, sir?
To answer the question easily, one thing I'm.
Sit up in the captain's chair there.
Yeah, I'll sit in the chair spot. Ooh, I feel important.
It was a quick rush. It's over.
Yeah, I know. Pretty unimportant now. One thing I'm actually pretty excited. We have a new position that's taking over some of the safety risk management functions that frees up time for Michelle to do more focus on training. And we will be doing a pretty expanded effort on employee engagement, employee training. And we currently have a list of things we make sure everyone gets trained in every other year. We can include this in that or even expand it towards every year.
Okay. I'm happy.
All right, so that part.
And that'll just be a policy. It's not written in the ordinance anymore. You took it out, right?
In the order, I did, but that was to reflect present reality. But if you want present reality to change, then by all means, this is your opportunity.
No, I think it should be up to the department head to schedule that and not have to follow this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's, it's working so far.
Yeah.
These steps we can. So wanted also to highlight Section 7. And as you can see, once you get there, maybe
here's a little bit of
the red line. Commissioner Fowler, if you could maybe turn to the red line, it'll probably.
Oh, is it in the back half?
Yes, it is.
Uh huh. Hey, look at that.
There it is. There it is. 4 of 6. Okay, so you can see there that we only have four. I think it is offices. Well, this says community development. Clerk, Public Works, and Surveyor are the only four in existing policy that are processing their own records, but we know that that is far from true, far from reality. So what I've done here is comport the policy to what's actually occurring. So these officers are the ones that are processing public records without sending them over to me every time. I mean, they certainly consult me for advice in my office, but they, for sake of efficiency, they actually process their own records. They have their own fees, and they do their own intake. So they have their own forms for the most part. So that would remain as
it would continue. Yeah.
That would continue. That's my recommendation.
On item 1, A1, it says it's a request, there'd be no charge if the request can be met within 15 minutes, all other requests would be charged at the hourly rate. Is there a 1 hour minimum?
No, so existing, this is reflective of existing practice. And basically it's, you know, if you're trying to charge people for 15 minutes, it kind of the right. time of doing that.
But if they're a half an hour, is it a 1 hour minimum?
Not presently, but no, it's okay. not presently.
But they'd be able to with this language.
He's saying if it's a half an hour, you still charge for an hour minimum.
That's not what we're doing, no. We've been charging for half an hour. Half an hour.
In the outside world, if I go to your house to work on your heat pump and I'm there for 45 minutes, we have a 1 hour minimum. Because I have to dispatch a truck.
Some people are doing
and I have to take away from my desk or whatever I'm having to do. We have a 1 hour minimum for a request, but if it's a 15 minute deal or 17 minutes, something of that, or about this time.
Right, okay, now what?
But I didn't know that.
I get
what
you're asking.
This one here says it'll be charged at an hourly rate.
Yes.
But do you have a half an hour for the first half an hour is going to be $17.50 and then an hour is $35 or?
No, okay, what? So. Moving back a little bit from the statute says that if the charge is going to be more than $25, we have to get permission up front before even processing the request. And so if we were to say we're
right,
going to
have to let them know that it's going to be what
yep,
it's going to be.
Yep, and all the staffs, even administrative, is that's like 32 for an hour. And so we would have to get written permission on every request, even the ones that probably aren't going to take a full hour, if we were to require a 1 hour.
That's, I guess I'm trying to, how do you charge them? I mean, if it's 45 minutes, what do you, how do you arrive at what you're going to charge them? Do you, if it's $35 an hour, you're going to charge them 75% of $35.
That's found on page 6 of 6. It's the fee schedule there.
It's very clear.
Yeah, well, it's on there. Yeah. On the form. Well, I know what I'm trying
and
to do.
And also they can say, I don't want to go over $50 or something.
Yes, yes. I mean, the fee, yeah, what they're willing to pay. Okay, so this is the labor charges as they currently
mm-hmm,
exist.
I got that.
No changes made at all. This varies throughout the county, however. Mm-hmm. Different offices, sheriff's office, assessor, clerk, have different charges. And
mm-hmm.
We are going to reflect that in the policy. But, so what will happen is, let's say the request comes into my office and I personally process it. Well, I'm managerial staff, and so 55 an hour is what we're looking at. If I and all those who are otherwise involved in John's office, everybody who was involved in this request was able to process it in 15 minutes or less, pretty much I don't charge. It's just not worth the administrative burden to try and collect somebody's 15 minutes worth of payment. But if it's going to be half an hour of my time, then they need to pay $22.50, which gets us in underneath that $25 statutory. $27.50. Okay, actually, yeah, it's $27.50. So,
okay. So that you're going to use it per hour as a basis.
That's how
as a basis, and if it's like we'll use $32 an hour.
Yeah.
So if you're going to if you got 3/4 of an hour and it's going to be 75% of 32 or
yes,
24.
Yes.
Okay.
Typically, I'll ask John, you know, how much time did it take you, right? And then he'll report, and then we'll wrap that into the overall cost.
But you have to guess if it's going to go past a certain threshold at the beginning and tell them.
Yes. Yes. Right. The form, so I think Pat was starting to point out that the form, as it presently exists, and we're going to replace the form, but the form does ask them what limit of expense are you willing to go to without us asking you subsequently.
Hmm.
So, and that's a good thing to keep, but we'll refine that so it's a little more in keeping with what works.
This seems like a nightmare to me. Well, I'd say in the private sector, it's $55 an hour with a 1 hour minimum, and that was the end.
You can do that.
And that was
yeah,
it. And that was it.
That's
1 hour minimum. Then it was 15 minutes. They were 15 minutes after that, but you know, your first initial thing. So, but however you've been doing it all along, I guess if you've been doing it all along, it charging charging a half an hour because that's all you're going to spend on it. Because if you say, well, it's $55, you got to go for a half an hour. You're going to get that too. So maybe you're just avoiding that conflict. That's probably
yeah. Seems like a calculated move for now.
Yeah, let's just leave it the way it's set.
The way it's right.
Used to it. I want to reinvent the wheel here. This is what you've been doing, then it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we found a steady place for the most part.
Right.
Aside from, of course, the appeals process that we've been talking about, but we're going to find, I think, a good solution. You know, a good solution for that, and we have a tracking process that we can bring deliberately. I think transfer over, and then you can, you know, and do whatever you want with it. But it's working out for us. And I know I went over it kind of quickly, but I do really, really want to emphasize the statutory deadlines that we do have to satisfy these records requests.
Right.
There's penalties now.
Sure. Someone has to be well aware of.
Yes.
And
yes.
Track.
It takes kind of a team. And, you know, we do what we can, and we're doing okay, but it's a good time to kind of become more deliberate about how we track those records requests.
Yep. Okay. Sounds like better public service as well.
So we need the drafts back, and then you'll get us a hard copy when you get done?
What I was going to suggest doing, traditionally the board will, after considering the draft of the policy, will have us shop it around to the managers, collect any feedback.
Okay.
I'll bring it back up to that point, and then we can,
we'll
consider
get,
any recommended
then we'll get
changes
the final.
Coming from that process.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And we just got to understand this is just a draft right now.
That's all it is. That's right. Everything's as it was.
To ask about that before.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you mean.
This is just
there.
Make sure that we all understand this is just a draft. This isn't.
It ain't over yet.
Casting right. A stone and brought down for the mountain. Okay.
All right, chances are I'll bring it back in a week. I'll ship it around to the managers after this meeting and we'll take it from there.
Sounds good. All right. Item 5 is the draft order in the matter of establishing Josephine County Fire Protection Committee.
Okay, so this is a road that the county has gone down before, about 11-ish years ago, so 13 years ago, I suppose.
For the last iteration?
Yep, and so where we left off last week was the board really was pretty satisfied with the approach that the county had taken all those years ago, and so we've gone ahead and drafted up something that basically mirrors that. So this is the order that establishes as an ad hoc committee the Josephine County Fire Protection Committee. Give everyone a chance to read that.
And that doesn't have the particulars of the makeup?
No, on the order it does not. It can.
So that's still going to...
I know what you wanted to do.
Still going to happen? Yeah, I know. Well, when we were looking at what the past year looked like.
Yes.
As a template. But yeah, I think the community's excited to see this one go forward.
Yes. Yes.
And at least get to where we have an intelligent question to ask.
When you're talking an unprotected area, is that any lot that doesn't have a contract with a fire protection agency?
Even the ones that do.
Yeah, it's the ones that don't have a district formed. Right?
Right.
Right.
Okay, so anybody that does not have a district?
Yes, outside of a district.
So even if you have a Valley Fire or County Fire contract,
you're still
in this area potentially.
Yes.
Right.
Or
how
yes.
Do we...
Unprotected.
Yep, unprotected.
What is... Well, I'll just let them go through this. Are they going to... What's their charge to come up with? To establish a committee to assess and study fire protection boundary service rates, service areas rates, and standards in the unprotected areas of Josephine County. So in other words, are we forming a fire protection district that the county will then have? Or are we going to, is that what we're looking at?
We're just forming a group to have a recommendation to the county commissioners.
Okay.
Totally open-ended what the recommendation could be. The district may be part of it. It may not.
Two districts?
Yep.
Who knows?
The board wanted to take a real, as has been done previously, an arm's length kind of approach to this and allow the
organic
process.
Well, we've got to do something.
Yes.
Yep.
No doubt about that. Okay.
And so when can we put the structure around the members?
So it wasn't in the prior order, and
right.
we didn't want to
muddy it up.
Muddy it up, but this is probably a good time. Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yep.
Because I thought didn't we give that to you guys last time?
We did. It's here.
Somewhere in there.
But this will be a good.
Oh, a proposed.
No, just last time to show you what the the previous committee, the makeup of it was.
Oh, that was. We did, it was a glancing blow.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's what we're, I think you're talking about.
There's some kind of minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
So you can see how many were on there. They were all citizens, it looks like. I don't know if any.
Yeah, but there's not any criteria around it. It was just open.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how the board made that decision, if they put the committee together, established the committee, and then decided, you know, I'm not really sure.
Right.
If they put it out to try to get membership by position, you know, by saying one person in the county, one person in the city, that kind of thing.
You might be able to just advertise, see who applies.
And just choose.
And disappoint everybody, maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, do you say I want one of these, two of those, four of those, and five of those, and you're stacking the board, or do you want to really find out what people think?
Just open.
That's the question,
I mean,
right?
You know, it can be very, very slanted one way or another, especially with the atmosphere we have out there right now. We can get all kinds of different ideas back, but I think if this is a citizens advisory committee,
right, that the board could choose from the pool of applicants?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's try it that way. And if it doesn't work, we can attack, you know, we can say we tried that way.
Yep.
I would just assume it'd be as well rounded as you can possibly get.
As broad a net as we could throw.
People that are actually, you know, being affected by it. But then, you know, when you choose the makeup of a committee, you're trying to say, well, we really need to have somebody from the industry in there to let us know what it looks like. So is there any other, I guess I ask the question, is there any place else, we're not the first one to invent this wheel, is there any kind of examples we can use from other jurisdictions? Have we looked into that?
Of what?
Board formation.
Board formation, the matter of establishing a fire protection committee. Do they have, I mean, I'm assuming somebody else may have done this at some point in time.
I would be
Besides
surprised
us.
Because we are one of the only counties that don't have that.
Well, you might, and that's a good answer. That may be my answer, that it's just not
well,
done anywhere else.
Let's float it forward and see how it goes.
Yeah, we order the formation of the committee, solicit applications, see who applies.
Yeah.
You may want to appoint everybody, for all I know. I mean, you may only get six applicants, right? Like, make it,
right.
I don't
make
know.
It 18, and that still may be
the,
a good number.
It may.
Capacity?
You know, so.
What's the capacity?
142.
Down to, stop there.
It's a big committee.
It's going to take a strong arm chair.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Let's move that one forward.
Okay, so I'm going to session. Who would be presenting on that? Anyone in particular? I could say a few words, I guess. But
yeah, if not you, probably the chair.
She seems
chair.
Pretty up to speed. Okay, chair is
and she's not here,
carry
so
that
it's
one.
Easy to point out to.
Not you, and it's not me, so.
I love it. Item
but
six.
Absent signing will take care of it.
Manager training reference public meeting notices.
Okay, so we do get rather regular input regarding public meeting notices. Of course, the county puts out notices for all public meetings, not just the ones that the board is attending or comprising, but various advisory committees as well. And so, based upon a desire to be as good at what we do as we possibly can, I do recommend that require a training that doesn't have to be extremely long or painful, perhaps a 30-minute type of session,
right.
Where we get into the nuts and bolts of what exactly constitutes an adequate public meeting notice, what to an adequate agenda.
They
would
have
be.
Like an online webinar seminar that
maybe
that might fill that void, so that you could get it to them right away if we hired someone.
Maybe I can find out whether
their own convenience. Yeah,
we
I
have
can
about,
absolutely find that out.
Yeah,
we have about.
It's a pretty narrow subject.
Give or take, maybe half a dozen people that this is a real concern to. Is there a possibility of polling them to what they would like to see in it before we start that?
I could.
I mean, we've got coming in from various different places. You know, you're you're not adequately noticing it, you know, and because I don't think you're giving such and such to people, you're not establishing the curiosity. I don't know whether state law says we have to establish a curiosity to bring them in or just notice the meeting. So there's got to be some happy ground in there somewhere.
So. I understand the point.
I didn't know if we're meeting the requirement or if we're not meeting the requirement or if it's just a request that it be more specific, you know, and add to it. I think, you know, we probably need to do something to generate a little bit more excitement in the boardroom, you know.
Sure.
And if that's the way it is.
Those notices should come through this office as well.
That's not a bad idea.
That's something, because I hate getting blindsided by a public notice that I missed by a day or two.
Yeah.
We'd love to be in the stream.
Well, you said it's on your public notice that you're going to discuss this, and now you don't know what we're talking about.
And if we're going to establish the line of we have to notice this and it has to be a certain way, I'd rather be above that line than hanging near it.
Yes.
You know, and noticing more, over noticing, over explaining a bit. Rather than leaving it all the way vague. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just good customer service to have that. And so although I congratulate you on giving the executive office manager something to do and nice being first, this one seems like another one that we'd want to make sure it went through the nexus and everybody got it, because it's just an electronic forwarding. It's not a huge obstacle. Yeah,
and all of our people that are adding, submitting data,
Yes,
they need to know that this is what's going to be required.
I'm all for the training.
Where the breakdown, exactly. So where the breakdown theoretically is occurring is that it's just an administrative chore that you have to be on top of the schedule at all times, and you know when it's the managers and department heads that have to be the ones personally on top of it, you know, that's going to fall.
I was going to gather up this morning. I went to a meeting of Jackson County for their general discussion. I was going to grab a agenda off the thing, and I forgot to grab one, just to see how do they notice it, what we were getting ready to talk about, some BLM stuff. And some
Because it's not a hard thing. It's just something that someone has to track it.
Yes.
Yeah, and make sure the dates are...
Yes,
and the information is complete.
Read it before it goes out the door to, you know, get that detached set of eyes. Maybe, you know, if it's an airport advisory, and you have somebody who hasn't been tracking all these issues for the past year and a half, right? It's like, what are you talking about at this meeting? Mm-hmm. And just have that check on the whole system. So, well, it sounds like that's where we're going with this. Then is it's gonna be another expectation that the executive office manager is gonna be the department heads are gonna need to provide them notices to.
Provide them training,
and then you have
to know all that.
Happy to facilitate the training piece on that. And
department heads and stuff need to know what's going to be expected of them when it comes to this office, so we don't go back and forth. You know, hey, you got to clear this up a little bit, and then before you know it, you miss the deadline. Now we're postponing meetings or having to move it to the next meeting. A lot of this stuff's really time sensitive. So the more information they can bring before it gets into this office. So that it's pretty well comprehensive when it gets here, I think we'll be better off.
Well, that stuff gets time-stamped when it comes in, I imagine, the request.
Yes.
Yeah, there should be. I like the standardized form when everybody fills something out.
Yeah, and we can do a whole other agenda item on that someday about, but we'll let Annette kind of get one in the seat before we try to fix everything.
That's right.
Well, look at it. We've set down what we expect of it, and if I had to do it myself, I don't need to pay anybody to do it.
Okay. So the takeaway is that we're going to line up required training for all department heads. The board expects required training for all department heads, and that the direction we're going is that public meeting notices throughout the county are going to be coordinated by the executive office manager.
Yes.
Sounds good. So we'll do the legwork on that and keep you in the loop.
Excellent. Love it. Number 7, Mr. Schofield, request for county insurance change, page 57.
If it pleases the board, can we do number 8 before number 7?
I can't see a reason not to, sir. Please do.
You want to come on up to say? The reason I ask that is Cecilia Hayes here. She's the office manager for the DA's office.
Mm-hmm.
And that way she can address what we need to with her, and then she can go back to her stuff.
Thank you for getting your name in the record. Nicely done.
All right, so...
this one's request for district attorney victim assistance program structure. Right.
So in the last, I would say, 18 months, we've had a challenge with retention with our victim assistance specialist position, and the primary reason for that is salary. They a lot of them want to work here and are, frankly, good employees, but they just can't stay based on the salary that that position holds. The other challenge is Cecilia, as the office manager, has a very wide scope of a number of people she has to supervise, and that makes it challenging for her to do an effective job supervising these folks because they're kind of off in their own world doing their own thing, and she doesn't see what they do on a daily basis. So what I'm recommending is changing the structure. We currently have two levels of victim assistance. The victim assistant two is a lead worker. They direct day-to-day operations, but aren't full. They're not a full supervisor. So what I'd recommend is changing that position from an AFSCME lead worker position to a full manager position that gives them the authority to fully supervise that program. That will take some of the weight off of Cecilia's shoulders and allow her to be a more effective supervisor in her day-to-day operation. And then I would recommend changing the salary of the victim assistant one from an A10, guess what they're at, an A10 to an A12. That makes it congruent with the legal secretary upstairs, and hopefully will address the retention issues associated with pay. The total cost of this will be about $12,000, which, frankly, the DA's office does a terrific job of being lean and mean and fiscally conservative. Pretty much every year, they have that much wiggle room by the end of the year. So it should have zero effect on the general fund. And then next year, when they renew their grants for the victim assistance program, next year's grants will cover this extra cost.
I don't see an office manager box in here. How come you don't have your own box on this chart?
Are you chief?
I think I'm there.
Are you chief administrative supervisor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's her. And so you're proposing page 3 go away and page 2 become the new chart?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the FTV easement. Okay, I see it.
Yeah, so it's no new positions. We're just changing the structure within the office. Same FTE. It just will be a little more efficient and hopefully will help us have better retention than we've had.
And bring you up to market value and take a little load off of you.
And the biggest problem we're having right now is we're getting tons of applicants that are really well qualified and they're turning down the job because it's not enough pay.
Not enough pay.
Yeah. So then we're digging through and reposting again. And
yeah. And someone who's passionate about the work, who wants to work for us, and it's like, I just can't make it work. That's the worst kind of person is to lose because you're like, oh, they would have been great.
But that's good information to have because, I don't know what they pay in Oakland, California. I care less. But when it starts coming back to us to where we can't recruitment and retention, in today's labor market, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There isn't a business in town that doesn't say help wanted on it.
Yeah.
There's competition out there for employees. Get a good one, you're going to pay for
it. Yeah, we're losing our victim advocates to the medical field. This is the most frequent one. They're taking more money.
Well, and so is there also room for this new description, this new person, to move up in their own over the next 5 years in salary? Or do they come in right at the top and they can't move up?
Well, they'll have a salary range like all positions. Mm-hmm. So the person who is currently in that will not be at the top of the scale. So they'll have quite a few steps over the next few years.
Unless some superhuman applies, you might.
Well, we would reclassify the existing position, who's currently the lead, into the supervisor position. And so we already have that position. That position's filled. It's the lower positions that are not filled.
Okay, gotcha.
So what do you need from us?
Seems reasonable.
Because this isn't budgeted, the process would take it to the next week of business session. What I need is provisional approval to do that for this one.
You need a motion?
No. If you guys are okay with moving forward, we'll just move forward.
Let's move it forward to WBS, and yeah, sounds like we're both willing. Great, thank you.
Oh, no, no.
Unless you really want to.
Be cheerleader.
We gotta fill the room.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. So that was 8:47. Yes. Item seven is a request for county insurance change.
All right, so in this, there's a couple of things that I'm asking of the board. One is an annual, pretty standardized process. Within our collective bargaining units, we have provisions for inflationary increases to our contribution to insurance. And we base the dollar threshold on the medical cost of living index, so the CPI, and we go from June to June. And the reason we use that month is that gives us enough time to implement for our next open enrollment, which is in August. So the June rate just came out, and it's 3%, which is congruent with what our average inflation rate is. So it's a pretty normal amount. It's not higher than what I would expect. It's within our existing budget, as every year we estimate what we think the inflationary rates are going to be for insurance, and based on that we project out what the costs are going to be in the next year. So this actually has no added cost compared to what we've already budgeted. We actually budgeted 4%, so this is a little lower than we projected. So the first part is just to standardize. What I recommend is that the non-union group mirror the increase that the union groups get so that we don't have issues of compression. And that's something we typically do every year. So what I'm requesting of the board is to accept that recommendation and have the non-union group have the same inflationary increase that the union groups are getting.
Makes sense. It sure cut down on our water cooler talk.
It could curb it a bit.
Hopefully.
Who's all in the non-union group?
There are like 64 different positions. So all the department heads, mid-level managers, there's a handful of non-union folks who are not managers. Everyone in my office is non-union. Most of the people in finance are non-union. So there's legal. Deputy DAs, everyone in legal. Board's office.
Well, and this is
all elected officials.
Something that the city of Grants Pass fought for the last 10 years was the compression. Nobody wanted to move up and be a supervisor because it wasn't there. The bait wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so I totally get that. What I hate to see is when we compare against other counties and we start ratcheting all that against each other and everything just keeps flowing up. That was irritating as well.
Yeah.
Because we weren't seeing it in the private sector. And so when municipalities were doing it, it was very hard to explain to a citizen, that, why are you guys still marching forward? But I think the county went through their own desert experience.
Yeah.
And some of that needs to be addressed now that we're out of that desert.
Well, I would
not
say
completely. We can still see it. Just look over your shoulder.
That's right. Well, I would say Josephine County, I would say that we adjusted to the economic decline faster than most local governments did. Because typically, if you see a recession in year one, government doesn't catch up for 2 or 3 years.
Until they're broke.
Yep.
And that's a bad decision because they take too long to adjust. And some of that is due to collective bargaining because it's in contract. You can't change it until the end. But I know Josephine County went 5 years with no pay increases for almost every employee in the county.
Yeah.
And with an elected official, I think it was 7 or 8 years, which was the longest in the entire state. So we made quicker adjustments and were more fiscally conservative than most other agencies.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that we're in good fiscal shape now. Our Moody's score went up. So we try to be fiscally conservative, as is the demographics of our region.
No, I think it's a good policy.
Yeah. So that's my first recommendation. All it requires is a motion for that to happen. The second is we have a supplemental insurance for people who elect it, and they also cover our flexible spending accounts and health savings accounts, which are options to get tax incentives associated with health care. And currently we use American Fidelity as our provider, and we made that choice a few years ago because they offered services that were at no cost to the county. However, the customer service hasn't been great. We've had a lot of complaints across the county with just poor response time. And if they're fine as long as there's not any issues, but when there is an issue, it's challenging to resolve them. So what I'm recommending is that we switch to Aflac Insurance. We've had a long history working with them. They offer the same services at the same price point, so they have a free FSA and a free HSA. and they're willing to offer that because their hope is that they will have people that select supplemental insurance, and that's where they make their money, which is the same reasons why American Fidelity did. But Aflac has a better history within the county of providing good customer service.
Right, so the customer, the county employee, shouldn't see a lot of coverage difference, but are hoping to see a service difference.
Yeah, it'll be the exact same type of service, the same types of offerings that American Fidelity offers.
Yeah, there's not going to be a huge jump in what they're getting and paying.
No.
As far,
No, it should be very similar. The difference is they have better customer service than American Fidelity has.
Okay.
And I presented that to the last department manager meeting, and it was widespread that they all agreed that they weren't all that happy with our current provider, and they were looking forward to a change.
Yeah, my wife said the same thing.
Your wife and I concur. I'm just going to say a thing. If I just started on American Fidelity, it'll be your
one of our commissioners would agree with my assessment of not great customer service.
Yeah, putting it mildly.
I haven't had a chance to use it yet, so.
Yeah.
You won't.
I don't have an opinion.
That's the point.
They're hoping you won't.
You won't just get the chance to use.
Just keep paying. Okay. Then you need a motion for both?
Yeah.
Okay. So moved?
So moved that we move forward with the recommendation from Human Resources, and I would second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carries aye. 2-0. Please move forward. Do you have one more, sir? Are you an item
minor?
The last
one is pretty simple. It is a job description update. We have a emergency preparedness coordinator position. It's in public health. It is completely grant funded. And the position came vacant. And the old position was pretty broad in general. And so I updated the job description to make it more specific. It covers the more concrete details of what the job does.
Michael! Public health director just walked by.
Yeah. good timing. We can pass it.
Were you standing outside the door?
We're doing item 9, request for a job description update for public health.
Oh.
It was timely that you walked by. Unless you have something to add. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I don't know.
Nope.
I don't think I
do. Would you repeat what you said just so he can hear it?
So again, this is a pretty standard process. Any job description update has to be approved by the board. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking for, is just an approval so that we can move forward and post and fill this position.
Right.
I've seen it.
You've seen it? Okay.
You got Audrey's corrections, right?
Yeah.
Great, thanks. That's the shortest meeting you're ever going to go to in your life. So.
Appreciate that.
You bet. 45 seconds.
There we go. That's the perfect amount.
Love it. Any questions, Dan?
No.
All right. Looks reasonable.
Okay. Then I'll move forward and make that happen.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. That was 9, so that leaves us with 10 additional matters from commissioners, or additional subjects, and then matters from commissioners. Anything you'd like to?
Not additional subjects.
Right, nothing for me on additional subjects. Any matters?
Matters, I went over this morning and met with, went over yesterday and went through the detection center for Oregon Department of Forestry. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. And then also the two of the three, I think all three public utilities commissioners were there. Had an opportunity to meet with. I've talked to Letha quite a few times, but never had a chance to meet with her. And Tawny, Commissioner Tawny, and nice to meet her and her also her counterpart. Talking about Pacific Power and what their role is and their reasoning behind their rolling shutouts and so on and so forth. Pretty good presentation. Came out of there with a lot more understanding of what it means. I think the rollout of it was far more angst came from the map that showed, we're going to black this out. But the Oregon Department of Forestry, they have a deal on the transmission lines in certain areas that shows a fault anywhere in it. And, in other words, if a tree branch hits it momentarily, it'll register that fault and it pinpoints it so they can tell where it is in case any sparks hit the ground or whatever to start fires. They've got, they're trying to triangulate get more cameras so they can triangulate detecting smoke or down in the valleys and stuff, they see smoke, but they don't know where it is exactly. So they're trying to get more cameras on board. They have two drones that they can deploy.
More like a small plane?
No, just a little guy.
A little squirrel, okay.
They'll come in a suitcase thing. But they're looking at a possibility as this thing progresses, because we're on one of the only areas that does this, drone technology and these cameras and stuff, that if this is successful, they're going to try to get, like, say, a gasoline drone that can stay up for 25 hours.
Oh, right.
And go out a long further, ways yeah. and come back and aid in spotting fires and stuff. And I asked them if they had a thermal detector for at night, and they said not yet, but they're working on that also, thermal imagery. Nice. That was real interesting. It was a 2 hour, 2.5 hour gig, and it was very informative. I came away from it with a lot better, you know, that Oregon Department of Forestry is not just going to sit there and wait for this thing to get worse and worse. They're trying to get out ahead of these fires and how many they. We went over to the center and actually got to watch the screens and how they, and it's pretty high def. It was pretty impressive. They pick out fires in a guy's yard, and I told him, I says, you know, that the one down on Prospect, you know, that you get every once in a while in the summer, that's not a fire, that's my barbecue with cheap hamburger on. Don't send the bombers.
I love it.
And then this morning, Rocky McVeigh representing ONC, we went over and met with BLM at Jackson County's general discussion this morning in regards to road closures and road decommissioning. It's on Flat Creek, and they just want a little 4 mile section of Flat Creek they're going to decommission it. And, you know, I didn't quite understand why Rocky and I were there, except that they never told ONC, this is Jackson's in ONC County, they didn't notify ONC, and the ONC is supposed to be one of the first people that they're supposed to notify if they're going to do this. And I'm like, well, yeah, well, would you try to clean that future? And I asked her from BLM, I said, so have you scheduled this job? Yes. And I said, have you put it out to bid? Yes. And I said, you awarded the bid? Yes. And I said, then why are we here? If we said no, you're not going to stop it. And I said, that's exactly what we're talking about. The BLM, it just seems to be over and over and over again that they do everything they need to do and then ask for input from the parties. Yeah. And she said, well, it wasn't intentional that way, and now it's brought to our attention and it won't happen again. So ONC needs to be in the room. But one of the big things that they brought up is BLM is pushing a good thing for our area. Jackson and Josephine counties to go to the fire management plan that Jackson and Josephine have, because we're really high propensity for fire, and have been lobbying to cut back and thinning projects and so on and so forth. I think they're going to be pretty successful on that, for cleaning out understory and overcrowded forests and doing getting back to forest management in our two counties. You know, how much of that is marketable, we don't know yet, because that would go into ONC counties. That would be split up by the counties anyway, the 18 ONC mm-hmm. counties. But it was interesting that BLM for once is now, you know, we talked about decommissioning roads, and they showed this Flat Creek one. It's one of the things that came into it on, is that there is a road parallel to it on the other, but it's on both sides of Flat Creek. This one's completely deteriorated and washed out and goes into some private timber that the owner of the timber said, tear it out, we don't need it, we're coming from another way if we ever decide to harvest. So it's pretty interesting to see BLM on the, at least working towards us rather than gee, we're not going to mess with it. So it was kind of exciting to see that turn around. And then also Commissioner Tawney, they gave another report on the PPNL thing, but Rocky and I left right before that was over with. So coming up, we're putting together all the materials on the IV that the house out at Illinois Valley, and we're going to take all those materials, come to find out the Illinois Valley Airport Advisory Committee had never seen all the information. I'm really interested in what they have to say and what their recommendation is Because that's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to take all this information and recommend to the Board of Commissioners what their recommendations, what their wishes are, and then go from there. So we're getting together all the information, and some of it's conflicting to what we've been handed so far, but we're going to put it all together. We've got a pretty good stack that we'll get all the stuff put in together, and then we'll be able to make a decision on the information that's there. But at first it's going to go, I think, on August the 5th to the board out there, to the committee, and then it'll come back to the board. They're going to look at it first, and then we have an IV airport board meeting, and that's when they'll present it to me, and I'll bring it to the commissioners. We'll go from there.
Good.
Does that make sense? And we'll get it on the schedule.
Yep. Yeah, back to your fire discussion. I'm hoping that after we get out of fire season and start talking about forest management in the shoulder seasons and,
yes,
and prescribed burns, that priority list might use the risk assessment that has Merlin at the front,
yeah,
Redwood exactly, second, so that we're working in those areas first in, yeah, the state and not going just somewhere that's convenient.
Right.
We want to protect people and property first, so let's find the forest around them and start there. And so I'm hoping that'll be part of the follow-up conversation. I've talked to Lily about it on the subcommittee for the governor's,
yeah,
fire group. But that when they talk about moving some of the fire management to the shoulder seasons and seeing a little bit of smoke in the air during then instead of the summer, then where are you going to prioritize? That's what I want to try and push for while we're, yeah, talking. So.
Well, Jackson and Josephine ranked pretty high on that because of our fire propensity.
Sure.
So I think we're gonna be in a good place. I think so,
and I'm glad the conversation is moving along. Yep.
Is now it's people are starting to understand. I think, and when Colleen Roberts, you know, she was just floored when she got to meet the President of the United States back there and talk about Jackson County in Southern Oregon,
mm-hmm,
and our management plan. And the reason we have started out with fire, that's the reason we are such a high propensity, is we haven't been logging. We haven't, yep, been doing anything. And it's just, I explained to, I think it's Evelyn is her name from BLM. I said, you know, we talk about...
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
And I said, we talk about, gee, how are we going to fix all this stuff? But it's all been, we haven't had the timber offered to the mill to keep the mill open. And I said, we don't have any mills here anymore. And she said, yeah, I know. And I said, so if, you know, if we're going to trickle some logs out of the forest, we're going to trickle this and trickle that, well, that's not enough to keep a mill open. I says, if the Filippis and Swansons and Krauses and Spaldings and all of those mill timber people that have been doing it for years, 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 very successfully, the Yonsers and everybody else, if they couldn't make it work on almost unlimited timber, how could we make it work now? So you've got to be able to have a place, you know, because they're offering sales and they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Because there's nowhere to take it. And I said, you should have stood for the industry when you should have, because now it's starting to affect you and how you do your job, because there's no place to take it.
No place.
You're getting no bites.
No market.
No market. And now you're overrun with the stuff, and it's a tough one.
All right.
I said, we'll work with you on it always.
All right, well, I'm heading out to Cave Junction for a 5:30 radio show, 5:30 to 6:30 at KXCJ. Their first of once a week. They're going to have the commissioners on a Tuesday, and then they're going to have some local city council from out there, the fire district out there, and try and do a once a week kind of a public service. And they'll be able to phone in the last half hour and ask questions. And
kind of like a KGO deal.
Yep, so I'm going to go represent tonight out there, and no predetermined subject matter, so
good luck.
We'll be footloose and fancy free. And I also talked a little bit with Rob Brandis, I'm not sure if it was at a public meeting or not, about trying to talk to ODOT about getting some rumble strips on the side of our safety corridor from here to Cave Junction and a little further, because we're still having the accidents and still having national list to get us near the top of dangerous roads, and there's easier ways to fix that than putting up reflectors.
The rubber strip I found that's been very helpful is the one in between lanes in the middle. Mm-hmm.
They do it in California on that same row. Yeah, do it on the outside, but the one in the middle, too.
One in the middle.
Keep those head-ons.
It says you're crossing over. Mm-hmm. That road out there at night when it's raining, you have no clue where the center of that road is.
Yep, it's impossible.
None.
Even when it's freshly painted, it's tough to see because it's so dark.
I always hate to say it, but you go down to California, and in the middle of the night, you can see, they've got so many reflectors in the middle. And, well, you know, over here we can't do it because of the snow and the soil. So always an excuse why you can't do something. I'm not for that. And get it done. Yep. Figure out a way to get it done. Well, you have to put the divot in the pavement or whatever. We need a lot more reflectors to keep you in your lane, especially during the rainy season. Yep. I hate coming back from Cape Jefferson when it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. You can't see.
Can't see. Agreed. All right. Well, I got nothing else unless you do. Well, then let's end this meeting at 3:24.